Okay, I'm working on the assumption now that everybody has Eclipse installed in their on their individual laptops. So as long as we've got to that point, then we're off to the next part. The second module, we're going to actually go through a little bit more about the workbench, which is what you're seeing when Eclipse starts up. So in a little more detail, we'll just go over the basics of it, look at how you manipulate some of the resources, the various components that are there, perspectives, views, and editors. We'll look at some specialized views that are there to actually help you perform some of your tasks and some of your searching, and we'll look a little bit about customization of the workspace, because you can get it to look the way you want, but at least get menu items, get icons where you can click on certain things to get views and perspectives up at your fingertips. So this starting point of Eclipse, right? If you've got the JRE installed, great. The workbench opens up. This is your working environment. I'll say it again. This working environment is mapping onto the workspace directory. And if you haven't done anything special in starting up Eclipse, then your workspace directory is in your Eclipse install directory. So in there, you will find a little metadata file, and that metadata file contains your working situation. Every time you go and save the workbench, it records where you are, what you have open, so that when you come back and start Eclipse again, it's at the same point. Now, you get a single instance when the workbench pops up. You can, if you want, get another one up. I don't know of anybody. I haven't seen anybody that actually does a lot with multiple workspaces up, unless they're doing debugging of one of their corresponding plugins. So when we are testing our plugins, we are going to create what's called a runtime workspace. It's another workspace that starts up with your plugin under development as part of the environment so that you can do the testing of it. If you look in your Eclipse directory, there will, in addition to being a workspace subdirectory, there will also be a runtime workspace subdirectory. And it's important to know that that runtime workspace directory is there, because sometimes we will actually have to go and delete that directory for different reasons, and I'll talk about them in time. So when you're in this workspace, you are working with resources, and again, resources are organized under a file directory structure underneath the workbench in your workspace directory, and they are actual files, so independent of when Eclipse is running, you can always go and manipulate those files using some other program. I wouldn't advise it, because you're working in Eclipse, so you might as well just do everything you can through there. But essentially in Eclipse, at least for our purposes over the next day or so, we'll be working with projects, folders, and files. And each one of those will map onto an underlying structure in the file system. So in terms of organizing your resources, the metaphor is there. It's a common one that's used across many of the known development environments. You will be creating a project first to organize your resources, and then in your projects you can create a number of folders. And your folders can contain files, but your project itself can also contain files. It is possible to use dragging and dropping to actually move those resources around, but all this slide is trying to indicate is that if this is what you're seeing in Eclipse, then if we look in the workspace directory, you're going to see that one-to-one mapping so that you can go and look at the resources that way if you so choose. Because Eclipse remembers what is in the environment, and if I back up a slide, we can see it right here. There is this metadata directory, and inside of that directory there are a number of files that associate what you're doing and what's open and what type of things are in your environment. So just simply moving a file into your underlying directory doesn't mean that Eclipse is going to see it in the workbench. Right, Eclipse has to be shown that it's there. So instead of just moving resources around using the underlying file system, what you will wind up doing is using a number of different mechanisms. You can create a project, create a package, create a file, or maybe you have resources that you would like to import into Eclipse. So on the as part of the Eclipse menu, you will see an import option, and when you say file import, You will then be given a wizard that asks you for the type of things that you would like to import into Eclipse. So as you can see, there's a number of different things. Zip files, for example, an existing project, plugin fragments. There's a number of different things. And we'll be doing a little bit of importing and exporting, as the case may be, as we're going on. So once you're in Eclipse, maybe you want to take your project and you want to export it as a zip file. Well, we can select the project, we can go to File, Export menu, and again, we're given this list of different things that we can export. So if we want to build jar files out of our Java code, if we want to export our Java documentation, if we just want to export a file system, there are different selections that we can make. Through the hands-on and through the labs, we will go through some of these mechanisms, but there just isn't time to go through all of them. Again, this is more to make you aware that you have this facility of taking what's outside of Eclipse and bringing it into Eclipse and making it known to it by the import mechanism. And you can also take what's in Eclipse and export it out so that you can move it around. Occasionally, some things will occur in the underlying file system that you would like to make Eclipse aware of. For example, if you've created a project and you've created a package and there's a number of Java files there that you just moved into the directory, instead of doing the importing and exporting, what you can do is actually select the project and from the context menu ask to do a refresh. And what the refresh will do is it'll actually go and look at the underlying file structure and say, hey, you've got a new Java file here, I'm going to bring that into the environment. So if you see this situation where what's inside of Eclipse doesn't seem to mirror exactly what's in the file structure, just choose refresh and that will bring it up to date. One feature that I'm glad is still here in Eclipse, and it's certainly been in the Visual Age product line for a long time, is the notion of when you save something, a version of that gets created for you that you can actually back up to. I don't know if you've ever had the situation where you wrote you wrote a Java class file and you made a change to a method and all of a sudden it doesn't work and you'd like to back up to where you were before, but you actually forget what the change was. And you go, you know, darn, if I'd only copied that file and made an external version of it, then I could go back. Well, what's going to happen in Eclipse is it's going to be actually doing it for you. So again, through the context menu, all of the different versions that you've created will be saved with a corresponding timestamp that you can actually get back. And in addition to getting back, there is a very nice comparison facility that will give you a delta between the two versions. So you can look at them and see exactly what you changed. So on the context menu again, for this for a resource such as like a Java class file, you can actually compare it with something that's in your history, or you can replace it with something that's in the history. So just select the resource. They both bring up essentially the same window, but you will get to see this delta. On the old Visual Age side, I mean, it used to be interesting. In terms of remembering changes, it actually did it down to the method level. So as a manager, you could actually walk around or in behind the scenes, look at how many times one of your team members changed a method. So if they changed a method 306 times in the last 2 days, you know they're really having a problem with one little piece of code, and you might want to go in and help them. So that's one way to look at it. I just look at it as if I make a change and I forgot what I did, but it was better than what I have now, I have a way to actually back up to that and bring it up. So when you're comparing files and looking at these different versions, you can literally select the two different versions that you're interested in and do the compare. And I don't have a slide on it, but you get a very nice versioning tool that will show you the similarity between the two files and actually outline the differences as well. So you can actually select them and look at them. So a very good feature, something that should be in every Java or every development environment, and Eclipse does a very good job on this. Now, the workspace itself, if we look at what we have, you can think of there as being a number of different editors for different type of content. So maybe it's a Java file, maybe it's HTML, maybe it's something else. There are a number of views, and views are just ways of viewing different resources. The navigator view, for example, is one. An outline view will give you a list of all of the methods that you have in a Java class, for example. And then you have something that's called a perspective, and a perspective identifies a combination of views and editors surrounding some specific purpose. So this perspective, which there are many of, defines the initial layout of these associated views in a workbench. So when you select a perspective inside of the workbench, you're saying, I want to do a specific task. Maybe it's working with CVS. Maybe it's working on Java development. Maybe it's doing debugging. But each one of those perspectives has this specific task in mind. And then you have these different views and different editors that have been developed for that particular purpose. So the Java perspective, so we're doing Java code. Resource perspective, for manipulating resources. Debug perspective is for doing debugging. And if you've never seen a really good debugger, I promise you by the end of today, you will have seen a really good debugger. Not that we're going to create all kinds of bugs, but the debugger that's in Eclipse is in the Java toolkit is a very good one. So at a time, one of these workbenches can actually contain many perspectives that you actually flip back and forth between. And in fact, perspectives may share editors, may share views on top of specific resources. So there is sharing between perspectives going on. To open a perspective, it's quite easy in terms of what you need to do. If you go up to the window menu, you can say open perspective, and it'll give you a list of all of the perspectives. It will give you a short list, and then there'll be a selection at the bottom where you can see more perspectives and actually go and choose the one you want. Once a perspective is open, though, you will find that there's a number of icons here down the left-hand side, and each one of those icons represents a perspective that's already open. So you can click on one of those, and that will open, or at least switch over to that corresponding perspective. So you can have 5 or 6 different perspectives all open simultaneously. You're only going to see one set of the views and editors at any one time, but then you can switch back and forth between them. So here's just a list by default of some of these perspectives that are available. So CVS, we're not going to get into. Debugging, we will look at. Installing and updating, if you wanted to install new features or update existing features inside of Eclipse, you could use that perspective. We will definitely use the Java perspective and maybe do a little bit of Java browsing. Tomorrow we'll get into using the plugin perspective to help us build our plugins, and we'll be certainly looking at the resource perspective because that's the one that comes up by default. If you want, you can actually customize a perspective on your own. If you have a number of views and a number of editors open, you can actually save that as a perspective and give it a name so that when you come back, you can just click on your own homegrown perspective and bring up the ones that you like. Of course, it may get to the point where you've forgotten all of the different perspectives and you don't like the way that you've arranged things. You can come back and through the window menu again, you can reset your perspectives back to their original arrangement. This customizing of perspectives, it is, again, off of the window menu on the workbench. You'll see a little option that says customization. This gives you a list of things that are available when you open individual perspectives. So, and if you want to customize the corresponding menu items and views for your perspectives, you'll want to come in here. When we go to the hands-on, you're going to be installing CodeRally, which has its own set of views, own set of menu items. You may have to come in here and look for the CodeRally entry and make sure that they're turned on. Because at least in the last release, the menu items for CodeRally were turned off by default. So in the hands-on, we'll have this CodeRally plugin, we'll install it. There'll be a CodeRally perspective with menu items that we're going to be working on. You want to come in and make sure you customize those CodeRally menus to actually show up. Deleting perspectives, well, Same thing. If you don't like certain perspectives, you can actually go in and delete them. This is another very important window that will come up. It's called the preferences window. Everything in Eclipse has preferences. So if you don't like the way Eclipse looks or some of the things that it's providing you, what I can suggest you do is off of the window menu again on the workbench, you will see preferences. Go into preferences and set the preferences the way you want. There are all kinds of preferences for the workbench. There are preferences for doing Java development. There are preferences for doing plugin development. All I can suggest, again, we don't have time, but realize that these preferences are here and you can go in and turn things off or on. But if you want to get rid of certain perspectives out of your Eclipse environment, this is one way to do it, by turning them off. So editors, again, editors just open up when you double-click on a resource. It's a way for you to actually modify the resource, and the type of editor that pops up really depends on the type of resource. So it's all based around the corresponding file extensions. Now, when an editor opens up on a resource, it's actually going to possibly stay up across different perspectives. Right, so you can identify this underneath the covers as to exactly when you want these things to stay open and when you want them to go away. The active editor will have menus and toolbars specified with it so that people can manipulate it. And in terms of what we would like to do, you would like to create an editor and associate menu actions and add menus for that particular editor. Now, when you change a resource using one of these editors, what you'll find is you get a little star up there saying that there's something in that resource that requires saving. So it's just a little visual cue that lets you know when you look across all of the editors, because maybe you're in a perspective, you like the Java perspective, you have five or six open Java files. They're all going to be, in a way, stacked on top of one another. If you look across the bar on the top that indicates the file names, you'll see which ones you've changed and which ones you actually haven't saved. And you will be, I hope everybody's a Java developer here, you will be writing some Java code, minimal Java code, but you will be writing a little bit of Java code. So underneath the covers again, back under the preferences, what you want to be able to do is associate different file types and the type of editor that's associated with them. So back in the preferences view again, you can select the file associations, enter the file association, and then enter the corresponding editor so you can do this mapping. Now, I'm doing this all manually right now, but as a plugin developer, it would be nice if I could actually associate files with editors. And yes, there is a way for you to identify how to do that so that when Eclipse starts up, it already has that configuration. But until you know how to do that, the only way to do it is manually, and this is the way we can do it. Now, a view, right, the purpose of the view, it's slightly different than an editor. The idea is that it actually supports an editor. You can think of the views as providing some form of navigation and alternative presentation for the resources that are underneath the workbench. And views, like editors, can have their own menus and their own toolbars as well. And, of course, what's in the menu and what's in the toolbar is only there while you're working in the view. And in the end, if you're creating a view to add it to Eclipse, you also want to create the toolbar and you want to create the menu. So this is why it's important to understand how to do menus, how to do views, and how to do perspectives to actually do the arrangement. Views can be by themselves, just sitting there and having you look at them. Views can actually appear to be stacked up on one another. And think about if you're editing 15 Java class files. It wouldn't be advisable to have 15 different views all open because you wouldn't have very much space to look at them. So what happens is these Java editor views get stacked on top of one another, and you're only working on any one at any one time, but it's easy to actually flip back and forth between them. Now, in terms of the way the views are positioned, everybody has their own preference as to how they would like their view to appear. And you will find that you can actually select a view and hold your mouse button down and drag the view around and get it into a position that you like in terms of where it's presented in Eclipse. So when I'm walking around during the hands-on over the next day or two, I'll get everybody to actually move their views around and see if they like the way the arrangement is. But as a perspective developer, I have to decide where views should at least be originally positioned and which views should be initially opened up whenever a perspective starts up. You can, again, configure Eclipse to have certain views configured with a perspective. And we can do this, again, through the Windows menu. When we open a perspective and look at this other option, this will show us the corresponding views that come up. And we can select which ones we want, which ones we don't want, but it's all configurable manually again. And what I'd like to do is, as a tool developer, as a plugin developer, I'd like to actually specify this so that Eclipse knows which views it should have. But this show view has another purpose too. I can actually see all of the associated views with a corresponding perspective. So here's an example of this stack view that I was talking about. That's just a simple editor view. I can see that my file.txt is the one that's sitting on top. I know that the welcome editor is underneath. If I wanted to get to it, I could just click on welcome. We have stack views down here. I'm looking at various tasks that have been assigned, in which case there's none. But if I'd like to, I could actually see the different types of bookmarks that I put in place in Eclipse. So you'll find these stack views happening all over. The outline view doesn't have anything in it, but it's not stacked upon anything. Fast views, maybe you don't want to go up to the menu to actually decide which view you want to have open. It just seems too long. You can actually drag the individual views open to the shortcut bar that's on the left-hand side of Eclipse. And you'll see the little icon there for the view, and now all you have to do is go and click on it, and then the view will pop up and you can make use of it. When you click on that, though, of course what's going to happen is that view pops up in the current perspective that you're working in. If you click outside the view, it's just going to go away and go back to the bar. Again, this is just my personal preference. I don't use a lot of these fast views. I usually find that the views that are available in a perspective are the ones that I want, and I just move around between the individual perspectives. But as the case may be, there's lots of ways to do the same thing, and manipulating views and manipulating editors is a case in point. Other views that you will commonly use include the navigator, the bookmark view, the task view, and the search view, and these are all dealing with specific information. The navigator view is just for exploring resources. You get the hierarchical relationship of the resources in the underlying file system. And once you're in this particular navigator view, you have context menu options for editing those resources, for importing and exporting different resources, and for doing some refactoring on them as well. Tasks, how many people use post-it notes on their terminals? I know there's a lot of people that do that. Well, if you're working in an editor and you want to remember to do something, you could certainly leave yourself a comment in the code. You could put a post-it note on your terminal, or you could use the context menu of the editor and choose add a task. And when you add a task, it will then prompt you to enter something to indicate what that particular task is, and then it goes away. So this is the task view, displays them all. You can see the description, you can see the resource, you can see where that resource is actually located, and you can then go and work on it. Also, what the compiler does is it's compiling your Java source code. If there are errors, it will actually generate tasks for you to go and fix it as well. So you can see what the error is and go and try and clean it up. Another thing in addition to tasks is this notion of a bookmark. And a bookmark is just an identifier for a particular resource or a particular line in a file. So if you want to do a bookmark, it's the same thing. You're working in an editor, context menu, right-click, choose Add a Bookmark, specify the bookmark name, say OK, and the bookmark is now being created. There's a bookmark view, which you can actually go and look at. And once you see the bookmark view, read what your bookmark is, double-click on the bookmark, and you'll actually go and manipulate that resource where the bookmark was placed. Searching. I think every good environment should have a very good search mechanism, and certainly the searching for text, method names, class names, any type of naming is available in Eclipse through the search menu. And you can do searching just strictly on your entire workspace. You can refine it to a certain work set, but essentially searching and the Java searching is a very powerful mechanism inside of Eclipse. So we will, in the hands-on, you'll actually go through and do a little bit of searching, but you get to enter the criteria for what you want to search for, and Eclipse will just go and try and find everything that it can find for you. And when I'm doing Java development, knowing where a method is declared, knowing where a method is referenced, or a class is declared, or a class is referenced is important to me without having to manually go through and find it myself. So the search results do a really nice job of sorting everything that comes back and allowing me to just double click on these individual entries to get to the material that I'm interested in. I remember when Java first came out and you had to go searching all of the packages manually. That was just hard. And I'd been used to Visual Age for years and years and years that had this wonderful search mechanism in there. So I'm glad that it's here in Eclipse too. I talked about the preference dialog already because many of these other things always have these user settings for manipulating the preferences. And it's the same thing. It's under the Windows menu of the workbench. You can click on preferences and I ask you to go and have a look through here. I am going to raise an issue right now in that, and you'll see this in the hands-on as well. There is a setting in the Java preferences that everybody should do. And the preference is in what happens when you compile your Java code. You can think about if you create a project for a Java set of packages and you define your package structure. What happens when you compile the classes? The class file has to go somewhere. The default was that the source and the class files go together in the same directories. There is a preference in the Java settings that says create subfolders, one called source and one called bin, so that all of your Java source code, all of those packages will be underneath the source directory and all of the compiled code will go underneath the bin directory. And it's just nice to separate that out. It's certainly nice later on when you go to do your jarring activity. So all I've tried to do here is say, look, you come into Eclipse, the first thing you get presented with is the workbench. Know that the workbench is the main metaphor is a perspective. A perspective is a collection of views and editors grouped together for doing some task, such as Java development. So you will select a perspective and then you will begin working with the editors and views in that perspective. The perspectives, the little icons, the perspectives that are live show up on the left-hand side of the workbench, so you can flip back and forth of them. There are other perspectives that you can open up, and they're under the window menu. In all, you're just manipulating resources in the underlying file system, but ideally you don't want to go into the underlying file system. You just know it's there, sits in the background, and you don't worry about it. So then there are these nice little things of bookmarking and creating tasks for yourself and doing all kinds of searching and customizing the workbench. So it's to a point where you feel comfortable using it. Although, I just feel comfortable using it right away. Now for this lab, it just requires a little bit of explanation. I'll bring it up. This lab, lab two, is going to get the environment ready for us to actually work for the rest of the classes. We have to go and get CodeRally. CodeRally is this plugin. So this is although we haven't talked about a plugin, you're actually going to go through a little bit of work to add a new plugin into Eclipse. So I'm glad we all have network connections because you have to go and get CodeRally yourself and say, yes, I agree to the licensing agreement. And the licensing agreement says, I'm just going to use this for my own personal use, in a nutshell. There's actually more to it, but there you go. So what you're going to do is you're going to go and get the CodeRally plugin, get it installed in the underlying structure in Eclipse, And if all goes well, and I'm sure it will, when you start up Eclipse, you will see a number of new menu items across the top. And I've circled them in red, or squared them in red. These menu items are for running CodeRally. Now, at this point in time, you can't really run CodeRally because we haven't created a car. But I just want you to get to a point where we are ready to do that. Lab 3, after we go through a little bit more, will be to actually build a sample rally car. And to build a sample rally car, we're going to have to use a number of the facilities that I just talked about in this module. But this lab is to just go and get CodeRally, sort of explore the underlying workspace idea just a little bit more, and get CodeRally visible. And I'll put a word of warning in. This is an example, these menu items. This is an example of a plugin that gives you menu items that are turned off. So you are going to have to go in and customize these menus to turn back on. And it is under the Windows menu. You'll see customization. You should be able to look in there and see entries for CodeRally. If you don't, well, we'll have to do some backing up and checking to see what has happened. But I'm sure everything will be fine. Okay, so I'll turn you loose and see if you can get CodeRally underneath Eclipse.